Good morning and welcome to the session called Marriage Mentors. As we look at the state of marriage, we see that Michael McManus writes in his book, "Today's marriages are built on a slippery slope of changing feelings and circumstances, not on a rock of commitment. Many easily find excuses to walk away from marriage vows, spouses, and children. We live in a fast-paced culture that honors only one constant value, individual freedom." McManus writes his book, which is titled Marriage Mentors, Helping Your Friends and Family Stay Married. And it was copyright 1993, so it's been around for a while. He spends much of the first half of the book talking about the state of marriage. And he says in 1960, when four-fifths of all marriages were blessed by the church, there were only 393,000 divorces. But in 1990, when three-quarters of all first marriages were being blessed by the church, breakups tripled to 1.1 million divorces. There's great confusion around statistics. George Barna says that in the church, that divorces are the same as outside of the church. And that report came out in 2008. And in 2011, research done by Stanton, a focus on the family, and Wilcox, a director of the National Marriage Project, say that the difference within Christianity depends upon those who are steady in attendance at church. That when we find somebody is steady in attendance, that that rate of divorce is not the same as the outside the church. So what are we doing? What are we doing for marriages? McManus asks, is your church a blessing machine that grinds out weddings with no attempt to keep track of how of houses and how many end up in divorce court? Or is your congregation a place where young people learn skills and attitudes to build a lifelong marriage? Now, if we asked ourselves that question, are we a blessing machine, or are we building a lifelong marriage? And those that come to us, in our hearts of hearts, every one of us says, yes, we are trying to help our young couples build a lifelong marriage. But there are challenges that we face. Overloaded pastors, how do we come up with the time to do all the marriage mentoring that we desire to do or is required to do? We have pressure from parents. Scenarios where a parent comes up to us and says, my daughter's been living with this boy and they decided they want to get married next month. Can you do it, Pastor? We have pressures from couples. Situations like, this boyfriend of mine is going away and he's going to serve in the military. We want to get married now. What do we do? Well, McManus writes in his book many different approaches. He says we need to, one, spend more time helping the teenager understand the validity in being chaste, and that we need to do more programs around it. So we're talking about building lifelong marriages, and McManus, in his book, puts out many different possibilities. The first, which he says, is we need to help our teenagers understand the value of being chaste, the value that they are not sexually active. Second, he says we need to help the dating couple. And he gave an interesting statistic that after 300 hours of alone time is when we have the greatest propensity to not remain chaste, but to actually become sexually involved. The reports and things they've done said 300 hours of alone time. And so there's one particular program he recommends where you, if you're dating somebody, you can only see them for a set number of hours per week in order to try to, of alone time. Now, if you're with a bunch of people, that's fine, but only so many hours, maybe 1 hour a week of alone time, so that you would draw out that 300 hours to a longer period of time. thought that was an interesting fact. He suggests programs, assessment inventories like Prepare Enrich, and there are so many different programs out there. That just happens to be the one that he continues to talk a lot about in his book. And then he talks about marriage preparation. And that's really kind of our topic today, is marriage preparation, teaching on the substantive issues of marriage, equipping the couple to communicate and to resolve conflict, evangelizing the couple to help put Christ at the center of their marriage, and helping each couple learn about marriage via a marriage mentor, a mentor couple. So marriage mentoring. I said everything I said now just to be the background for this marriage mentoring program as one tool, not the tool, but one tool in our arsenal to help the young couple getting married. So marriage mentoring, what is it? One, when an experienced couple invests. Two, in a less experienced couple. Three, to help them navigate the marriage journey. So what do marriage mentors, what are they uniquely qualified to do? To be a practical role model to other couples. Give precious time. Demonstrate the church's love of the new couple and become a part of the church's life. McManus doesn't offer a lot of examples on marriage mentoring structures and programs. However, if you were to Google it, you would find that Prepare Enrich has a program focused on the family, has a program for marriage mentoring, and another such one that I picked up was this Doctors, the Parrots, their complete guide to marriage mentoring. They call out in their marriage mentoring program a triad of marriage mentoring for those who are preparing for marriage, which has kind of been our focus, marriage mentoring for those that want to maximize their marriage, and marriage mentoring to repair something has gone wrong in the marriage. And so they call out a three-prong approach to marriage mentoring and even suggest creating marriage mentoring teams to focus in those three different triads, the three different areas. We're focusing on the preparing. So we will set aside the maximize and the repair, because the concept as we're talking about today is really for the couple that's getting married, preparing for marriage. So what's the value of a program like Marriage Mentors? Well, the first, it prepares the newlywed couple. Marriage Mentors provide helpful role models for the premarital stage and the first year of marriage. So the premarital Marriage Mentors doesn't end on the wedding day. It extends from 6 months before they're married through the first year of marriage, and potentially even further depending upon the relationship of the marriage mentors and the couple. Could become a lifelong thing. The marriage mentors, what's in it for them? Well, they get to invest in other couples, but I'm sure as you've experienced, when you are responsible for teaching something, you become a much deeper expert on that subject than if you were just to sit in the class and to learn it. And so by being a marriage mentor, there's this boomerang effect that you spend time working on your marriage so that you become a good role model for the couple that you're mentoring. And so what's in it for the marriage mentors? Well, they get to help another couple, but what we have found is that they really help their own marriage. As they focus on their own marriage, they set aside time to talk about their marriage in preparation for whatever they're going to talk to the couple about. So they're going to talk to the couple about communication. The couple finds themselves talking to each other about their communication and their strengths and their weaknesses before they sit down with the couple getting married. So that's the Parrots refer to this as the boomerang effect. That as they go out to help someone else, they end up helping themselves and strengthening their own marriage. For the clergy, for us, marriage mentoring program provides a way to offer more comprehensive premarital and newlywed programs to their congregation and community. And this is quite frankly where I became interested in this concept. In a week and a half, I'm going to be doing a wedding at the church. She is a my member. He is a member of the Roman Catholic Church in Solon. And I just assumed when they told me they were going to get married that it was going to be in the Roman Catholic Church. There's no way the Roman Catholic Church would allow this guy to get married in the Lutheran Church. At least that used to be the hard stance. No way. So I called the priest, as the couple asked me to do, and he said, "Now, what do you do for marriage mentoring?" And I went through the process that I go through, which is substantial. I use Prepare Enrich, but I'm always struggling with how can I make it more within the time constraints that I have. He said, "Okay, that sounds great." He goes, "Why don't you do that half," which was everything I do, "and I'll do the other half, which is this marriage mentoring." The Roman Catholic Church, you shared earlier, that's where you heard about it. The Roman Catholic Church has been doing this marriage mentoring program process for decades now. Makes sense. The priest has not been married. He doesn't have much insight into marriage, so he turns it over to lay people in the community, in the congregation, to talk about marriage. So this couple that I'm going to marry went through my whole premarital counseling, and they're assigned a marriage mentor from the Roman Catholic Church. And I thought, maybe I need to investigate into this marriage mentor idea more. And then I was called and asked by the committee, would I present on marriage mentoring today? And I said, "Well, yes. Funny you ask, because I've been starting to investigate this concept. Is this something I can implement at our Redeemer? Is this something that is going to be beneficial for the couple?" "Yeah." "Is this something that's going to be beneficial for the marriage mentor?" Research is showing, "Yeah, it's going to be beneficial for me." "Yeah." "Is this one way to get the newlywed couple assimilated and engaged into the congregation if they're not already?" "Yeah. Because there's going to be somebody else they know in the congregation that'll say, hey, are you coming to the potluck with us? Or are you going to do this Bible study? We're going. Why don't you come with us?" So there is a benefit to the church. So if you buy into this marriage mentoring concept, there are three things that you need to look out for. And the first is selecting the marriage mentors. When you select, there should be an interviewing process, we'll take anyone who wants to be involved, because not anyone could be a marriage mentor. And so here's some things. First, you need a marriage mentor that has warmth and genuineness and empathy. Just kind of off the bat, they need to have those characteristics. More specifically, you're looking for somebody that's willing to give of their time to the mentorees, somebody that's willing to model aspects of what they wish to impart, someone that is challenging and motivating mentors to higher levels, someone that's directing mentors to helpful resources, somebody that is encouraging goodness and inspiring greatness, someone that is lessening the mentoree's anxiety by normalizing experiences, helping the mentorees set goal, keeping mentorees accountable to their goals, providing a periodic review and evaluation of mentorees' performance. There are some red flags, and I list 14 of them here, and I'm not necessarily at this time going to read down the list, because you can read down the list, but these red flags are immediate. No, you're not ready for being a marriage mentor at this time. There is even a marriage mentoring self-test that I included here that you can take yourself at some time. If you score a 40 to 50 out of these 10 questions, then you will be an effective mentor. If you're a 30 to 39, it's questionable below 30. Now, it would be very easy to rig the answers to this self-mentor test. I would probably implement this in a discussion with the person that is interviewing to be a marriage mentor, asking these 10 questions in an interview to see how they respond, not with a strongly agree, but with examples and ideas as to how they can be a marriage mentor. So bottom line, for being a marriage mentor, both you and your spouse need to be in a healthy place to be effective. After all, your relationship is the most important ingredient of the mentoring process. If you and your spouse are fighting about something, you're not going to be effective. If you do not demonstrate a relatively healthy marriage, you become part of the problem rather than a solution. So there is a lot of effort that needs to be placed around selecting marriage mentors. Second, there's work that needs to be done around teaching and preparing the marriage mentors to be marriage mentors. Now, the Parrots have a whole 10-step or 11-step marriage mentoring process with a DVD and workbooks that you can buy from them. I'm not necessarily suggesting their program, but I did list out on your page here the 11 topics that they have listed. In fact, there are probably other resources that'll be more effective than their particular resource, but it gives us a basis. It gives us a starting point, as there will need to be training for the marriage mentors. You can't just say, oh, here are the Pools, they're an excellent couple. Yes, go out and be marriage mentors. The Pools might happen to be equipped to be marriage mentors, but we can't expect all of our couples that we select to be marriage mentors to be equipped. And so there is some training that would have to be built to become a marriage mentor. Building rapport with the couple is going to be an important aspect. Learning how to walk in another couple's shoes, working as a team, agreeing on outcomes, asking meaningful questions, listening aggressively, fielding any question that they throw at you, telling your stories, praying together, being sharp and refreshed, and being yourself and going with the flow are the topics that they give in their training program. Again, I'm not suggesting we use their program, but we can use their program as a benchmark to build our own program. So there will need to be training to start the marriage mentoring, and there will have to be accountability for the marriage mentors. We certainly don't want to select marriage mentors and pair them up with a mentee couple and say, great, God be with you, the Lord bless you and keep you, we'll see you on the day that they get married. There needs to be probably a lead marriage mentor couple that will mentor the mentoring couples. Otherwise, as pastors, we'll have to step in and constantly be doing that. And what we're looking to do is help, not increase our workload. So we'll probably need a marriage mentor couple that will be responsible for all the marriage mentoring. There will have to be a pairing of the mentor and the mentee, which there are two important ingredients for coming up with this relationship: attraction and responsiveness. Are they interested in each other? We'll have to find couples that have some sort of commonality. If you have a couple that's interested in drag racing and the mentoring couple think that's the most absurd thing in the world, they're not going to have a good mentor-mentee relationship. We'll want to find some commonality between the mentor and the mentee, and that pairing will become important. There have to be some accountability for the mentors. And they're going to have to either meet in small groups or accountability meetings. And confidentiality will have to be stressed, that whatever is discussed with their mentor or mentee couple, that they're not sharing it everywhere they go. There'll have to be accountability training and continual training as we continue to build up the mentor. So, you know, just to kind of surmise this mentee-mentor relationship with marriage mentoring, the benefit is to the mentor couple and the mentee, that they both grow in their understanding of communication, of financial matters, and conflict resolution. I would not have the mentoring couple or the marriage mentoring program exclusively. It's got to be with pastor, premarital counseling that is going on, and with maybe other premarital opportunities. But the idea of having a mentor and a mentee
is the concept.